What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons. And this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And on today's show, we have some news to get into because the Chargers just announced that they're going to powder blue uniforms for their home jerseys. It's going to be their primary jersey now, not just a throwback or that kind of secondary jersey. So that was big news from the Chargers. And we also got the release of the full NFL schedule. So the Chargers schedule is out. We'll talk about some games that we see on there that are interesting and what we think about the schedule as far as how hard we think it's going to be. Obviously, this is all pre-draft and these teams aren't complete at this point, but I think we have a good idea of what most of these teams are. And then we're going to get back into draft prospects, talking about guys who have been projected to go in the second and third rounds. Today we're going to be talking about defensive tackle Rennell Wren out of Arizona State, and we're going to talk about North Carolina State quarterback Brian Finley. So we have those two guys to break down. I think you'll want to hear what we have to say about those, but we have to start with the powder blue jerseys. I think everyone's favorite Charger jersey for the most part is the powder blue. I think they're one of the best uniforms of all time, if we're being honest, because it's just such a storied jersey and it's just a fan favorite from everyone around the league. I mean, people love talking trash about other teams' uniforms, but you don't hear anybody talking badly about the powder blues. They are sacred. So, David, the Chargers announced that will be their primary jersey in 2019 for their home jerseys. What were your first thoughts when you saw that?
Time. I mean, hey, like you said, the powder blues are one of the most iconic, most beloved jerseys from any sport in the history of all sports. They're just that awesome. And hey, you only get to see them usually once a year, maybe twice. So now we get to see them eight times. Man, I'm ecstatic.
We posted a tweet just asking, you know, who is against it, who is for it. And there were some detractors on the side of, hey, it's not that special if you're wearing it all the time. Part of the reason it's such a good jersey is because it's special and because you don't get to see it all the time. And our own biggest Charger fan, John Kegley, was one of those people.
Yes, I love seeing that jersey, but I love seeing it once or twice a year because it makes it that much more special. That game, seeing it every game is just going to eventually become something you get used to and expect to see, and it's not that special anymore. I don't even know what we're going to do with the dark blue uniforms, and then we still have the color rush uniform, so I don't know what they're going to do with all these uniforms that we have, but seeing the powder blue every week is eventually just going to turn into that average feeling of, oh, well, here's the uniform we wear today.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the middle of you guys. I think it's definitely a good thing to see more of the powder blue jerseys. I guess it's hard to kind of say, hey, we're just going to do powder blue jerseys four times a year without making it the primary color of those jerseys. But the Chargers do have a lot of good jerseys, and I'm sure they're going to be breaking out most of them this season. I mean, who doesn't love the color rush? I mean, powder blues are great and they're better, but I mean, those color rush jerseys are hard to beat as well, with that dark blue and that bright yellow. They're some of the coolest jerseys, especially as far as color rush goes around the league. So in short, I am excited to see the powder blues more, but at the same time, I do get what you're saying, John, and I do get what the fans are saying, that, you know, it's not as special when you get to see it all the time. And I'm afraid that people will take it for granted as opposed to everyone just seeing it once or twice a season and just having it be like, oh, okay, this is the powder blue game. There's no way the Chargers are going to lose, because as well as, you know, being a great looking jersey, it's one of the most winningest jerseys of all time. The Chargers don't lose when they wear powder blues. I mean, that's just a thing that's always been connected to them as well. But I do want to get into the schedule. The Chargers schedule is out. The two other divisions that they will play every team from are going to be the AFC South this year and also the NFC North. So, Charger fans, get your tickets to the Green Bay game. That game is going to be at home. The Chargers obviously don't play Green Bay at home almost ever. You know, basically once every 8 years when they do those divisions where you're playing every division, but it's a home and away. So this is a great chance to go see the Packers play as well. I'm excited for that. But to me, David, it looks like a pretty tough schedule just on the surface of it.
Yeah, I can see how you would say that. I mean, you're looking down the line, you're starting off with the Colts, and the Colts have always been a tough opponent. They really went on a heck of a run last year. Obviously, the AFC West, they always play each other tough. The Steelers, the Titans, the Bears, that one's going to be a really tough game. And then you finish it out with, you know, it looks like three division games the last, you know, six games of the season. You're going to see the Broncos, you're going to see the Raiders and the Chiefs. Not to mention a Sunday night game against the Vikings. So, yeah, I could see why you'd say the schedule is going to be a little more difficult. But I really believe that, you know, if the Chargers just address a couple of holes, they're going to be really close to a more complete team. So I'm not as worried or, you know, I guess scared of the schedule as you are. But I definitely understand why you feel that way.
There's just some teams on here that the Chargers just historically haven't had a ton of success against. I mean, you have the Steelers, you have the Packers, and I think that's another thing with this, especially as far as the Packers and the Jaguars. Those are two teams that weren't very good last year that could potentially be much better. I would much rather play Blake Bortles, even though they lost in that last game because of gnarly fluke incidences. But give me Blake Bortles over, you know, Super Bowl champion Nick Foles, who doesn't need a lot and now has a really good defense to back him up. John, what did you think about the schedule as far as how easy you think it's going to be, the games that stand out to you, and so on and so forth?
Well, the games that worry me would definitely be the Packers. We are 1-10 all time against them, and that one win is at Green Bay. This game is at home.
That's the crazy.
Dolphins, yeah, the Dolphins stick out as well. We haven't beat them in Miami since 1981 in the Miracle in Miami playoff game. And one other game that sticks out to me is going to be the Mexico game, because that's pretty high altitude game and it's going to be really hot. I don't know how well we're going to fare against that Chiefs speed. That's if Tyreek Hill even makes it through the season with his off the field issues, but those three games right there bother me. This schedule does look tough, but I need to see the draft and whatever's left of free agency first to know what exactly everyone's going to have before I can give a real answer on this. But there's also some teams that, even though they're really good, probably wouldn't bother you, like the Texans, for example. We've only lost to them once in our history, and we should have won that game, but we did the Mike McCoy choke. We were up by 21. But I really can't wait for the Raider game. That's my favorite game of the year.
I mean, how could it not be? Chargers Raiders is always good, especially when you're beating up on them the way that the Chargers have in recent years, and obviously had that long stretch a few years back. But I mean, that Mexico game, we definitely should have mentioned before, the Chargers do play a Monday night game in Mexico City against the Chiefs, which is a cool giant game. Let's hope Mexico can hold up their end of the bargain, unlike last year where the Chiefs and Rams were supposed to play there and the field ended up being in too bad of conditions to actually play the game, which was like, of course that is. And then with Tyreek Hill, it just sucks to get the Chiefs twice from week 11 to week 17. That's pretty rough. I mean, now Tyreek Hill will probably get a 10-game suspension just in time to come back for the Chargers in week 11 on Monday Night Football. That's kind of how Chargers luck tends to go. But I do think that it is nice to see the schedule. It's nice to be able to plan these things in advance and just see what it's looking like. I think it's tough. I thought it last year it was tough, and the Chargers won a couple of games in Arrowhead and in Pittsburgh that they weren't supposed to, which is part of the reason why they ended up 12-4. I think they're going to have a tough time getting 12 wins on this schedule this year, but we still have the draft and to see what everyone else does as well. But let's get into these draft prospects, and the one I want to talk about first is a guy with a lot of upside. That's Rinnell Wren, defensive tackle out of Arizona State, coming up right after this. All right, guys, now we're back to talk about some more draft prospects in the 2019 draft. Right now we're focusing on guys that are getting mocked and projected into the second and third rounds. And the last show we talked about a couple of guys that we ended up not liking as much. I still feel okay about Will Grier. But on today's show, this is a guy that you could get excited about while still remembering that he's super raw and needs a lot of work, and that's Arizona State's Rennell Wren. One of the rawer prospects that I've watched so far, has Jerry Tillery length and unbelievable power. That's the first thing that pops out to you when you're watching him on tape, is just his get off of the line, his burst, the twitchy way he just gets off the ball and anticipates snaps is, I mean, extremely attractive. As a team who doesn't necessarily excel in that region, especially on the interior of the defensive line, but a lot of times he just didn't do enough with it, which is part of the problem and part of the lack of production at Arizona State. Only 3 sacks in his last 3 years at Arizona State. So that's definitely a big concern. John, this is a guy who's super raw, but you could see why teams would be attracted to him in the second or third round.
Oh, yeah. The amount of power this guy has is absolutely amazing. And he even tries to read the snap count. So if he reads it just right, he will already have enough speed and strength to overpower you. You shared a video with us that I saw as well against Michigan State where he absolutely just blew up the center while he still had the ball in his hand. It's amazing how fast he gets off the line with how big he is. My worry, though, is he only has that power. He's straight power. He'll run into you, but he won't use his hands. He doesn't have much technique to him. It's just the ball's hiked. I'm throwing myself into you and trying to drive you back. The weird thing to me was that they used him in coverage and they used it for quarterback spy type of stuff, which is something that bothers me, but it also makes me wonder if he has some other upsides to him. It makes me wonder what Herm Edwards was really doing with him. If I was to take a guess on getting him in the third round, I would have to say no, only because I don't think we have time to groom him. As you put it, grooming is what he does need. But if we got him, I wouldn't be too upset about it either.
Well, he just gives you a lot to be excited about. And yes, I was peppering you guys with just pictures of him, you know, 2 feet in the backfield while the rest of the defensive linemen on his team are still in their stance and the ball is about a foot away from the center. And yeah, that video of him just absolutely eating up the center of Michigan State. If I was telling you guys, if you just watched the Michigan State game, you would think he's a first round pick. But what you talked about before, the hand usage, I mean, all of that stuff needs a complete overhaul. He needs a bunch of technique. He needs to learn how to rush the passer with a plan. I mean, he doesn't seem to have a plan other than, hey, I'm going to put my head into this guy's head and go chest to chest with a lineman, which isn't great. Sheds blockers inconsistently at times, even though he has great length to be able to keep them off him. Lets the guys kind of get into his chest and grab on there too often. And David, to me, one of the biggest issues is just even the times he was getting penetration, there was just too many plays where he ended up being a non-factor.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I saw a lot when I was watching him. I mean, he's a giant man. I mean, he's like 6'5", 326, has great strength, but he just seems to get blocked way more often than I think a guy of his size and strength should. And that was really kind of alarming to me. I mean, yes, he has great get off. His hand placement is kind of wacky sometimes. I'm not really understanding what he's doing. But when he gets low, his biggest issue to me was his leverage. And yeah, I understand he's a large human, but if you're playing defensive line, you got to be the low man. The low man always wins no matter what. And he had a lot of trouble being the low man. So that, I mean, he's got potential. He's definitely a project though, Daniel. And I don't know if the Chargers are in a position right now where they can afford to take a project in the third round.
Yeah, it's a very high risk, high reward type of play if the Chargers were to, you know, go for this guy. I don't think that Arizona State really maximized his potential and really how they used him. I thought they did him a little of disservice as far as that went. I know John mentioned, you know, him dropping into coverage. I saw that an alarming amount of times. I mean, multiple times per game. And the only thing I could think about is Brandon Mebane dropping 2 yards into coverage one time and me absolutely losing my mind. But I honestly think, guys, with the potential that he has and what some teams think that they could do with it and molding him into a good player. I mean, if you're a team that has 2 steady defensive tackles and you just want a guy that you think you could groom into potentially starting, I think you could go for a guy like Rennell Wren and feel pretty good about spending a third round pick on it. And I think a team will take him in the top three rounds of the draft, possibly even before the Chargers pick at 91. But to me, I just, right now he played a lot of, you know, 4-point stance. Like he literally was in a 4-point stance almost every single time, playing in a 3-4, just that true nose tackle, which I don't think fits him best. But I'm having a hard time kind of seeing where he would play. Could he play 3 technique? Probably not. I mean, at least not right away. Maybe he could develop into that. But I also don't know if he anchors well enough against the run to play that one technique and just to line up outside of the center and really just make guys go around him and just plug up a hole. Because I saw him get washed away, like you said, especially with double teams. All of those things he can improve on. And you know that. And I mean, you can see that on tape, John. I just, like we talked about before, the Chargers are in win now mode. They need a guy who can come in right away and be a rotational piece on that defensive line. I'm not sure about the fact that he could come in and be a rotational piece in his first year.
There's no way that guy's going to be a rotational piece. He has so much to learn that even if he was to come in on rotations, that play that he's in is probably going to be a bad play. With how high he gets, with how little technique he has so much to learn. He would have to be one of those type of guys that you don't even suit up on game day. You would have to be one of the 7 inactives if he makes the regular season roster. And we need guys that are going to be impactful right away. I know there's a lot of guys that are predicting Jeffrey Simmons to go to us in the first round out of Mississippi State. So could that be a guy? Maybe. But if we go after this guy, it's definitely going to be a future thing. If he plays right away, we're going to see a whole lot of problems. We're going to see basically a Brandon Mebane problem, and we're going to see a Wren problem, and we're not going to have any improvement on the defensive line.
Yeah, and I think his ceiling is pretty high, but we talked about it before. I think it's boom or bust with him. And I think the Chargers at this point need a guy who's going to at least be able to give you something, whether it's just plugging a gap or just, you know, sticking to one thing and excelling at it and being able to come in and not be a liability. And I just don't know that he wouldn't be a liability. And the Jeffrey Simmons thing, I mean, I could see how the fit would make sense, but for a guy that, you know, has an assault against a woman on his record, you know, literally beat up a woman and also tore his ACL after the college season was over. It seems so unlikely that the Chargers would take a guy like that, given the guys they've taken in the past. But Rennell Wren, definitely an exciting prospect, definitely a guy that was fun to watch when he was on because just showed times of pure dominance. I mean, that's the thing. You look at that and you're like, all right, every team could use a disruptor like that. But I don't know if he plays consistently enough to be that disruptor or if he even uses his bull rush well enough off of the line of scrimmage to consistently get a push in the pocket. Because a lot of times, even though he's making contact first with that great first step, the offensive lineman's not going anywhere. It's not like he's always just burying guys in the lap of the quarterback. But, you know, if he is in one-on-one situations with offensive linemen that he can overpower, he has that kind of ability. I just don't think that he'd be able to get away with just pure strength in the NFL without refining his hand technique by 100%. So that's my thoughts on Rennell Wren. And another guy that got mocked to the Chargers a lot, one of the ones we saw, I had him going in the third round to the Chargers, was NC State quarterback Ryan Finley. So let's go ahead and get into what we think about Finley coming up in the next segment. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about another NC State quarterback. You know, you can see the Chargers having 2 NC State quarterbacks on the same roster, Phillip Rivers and now Ryan Finley. Well, I might be getting a little bit carried away there because I was unimpressed by Ryan Finley in the games that I watched of him. I did see some good throws. I mean, you watch a game like James Madison and it's going to give you a totally different feel than when he played a team with legitimate defensive line and that could get pressure on him a lot, like Clemson, which was probably his worst game and the worst game I watched of him. I think at one point they were 2 of 10 on third downs, and that was mostly with the ball in his hands. So he definitely struggled against a really good team like that. But at the same time, guys, hey, we're not talking about a first-round pick of a quarterback here. And third round, though, is a little bit too rich for me, David. I don't know if I saw that. I have a lot of things that he did wrong and was having a hard time coming up with a lot of the good things that he did.
Yeah, no. So when I watched Ryan Finley, you know, this guy's more of a pocket passer. I mean, I thought he did better out of the shotgun than anything. That's kind of where you saw him primarily. Threw off his back foot a lot. I mean, a lot more than he definitely should have. His footwork is not very good in that respect. He doesn't have very good arm strength either. I mean, he throws a decent deep ball. He has good touch on his passes from time to time, but there's not enough velocity there. I just threw a lot too many throws that I saw that he made that just were not getting the receiver when they should have. And that's a big problem. I mean, you make those type of mistakes in the NFL, they're going to pick that ball off more times than not.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot harder, and it's a steeper learning curve in the NFL with throws like that. If it was just intermediate throws, I think he'd be okay. He did really well in either intermediate routes. He actually led all of college football last year in yardage gained in on intermediate throws. So right there is where he excels. He's pretty good at back shoulder throws and the placement there. And his accuracy is generally good, but not great. I don't think the placement on his balls is really good all the time. I think he leaves receivers kind of hanging to dry at times, doesn't always put the ball where he needs to let receivers get the most yards after the catch that they could. And kind of like Will Greer, I mean, really struggles under pressure. And I think that's why a lot of these quarterbacks are dropping as far as they are. And I think Ryan Finley could be a guy who drops even to the fifth round or at least day three, as far as what I saw on tape. When there's pressure in his face, he felt the pressure to make throws that he definitely shouldn't have made, had a lot of ugly balls come out of his hand. And I think, John, when you're talking about a guy like this who isn't the complete package as far as having all the physical tools to be an NFL quarterback, you can't be a guy that also makes mistakes on ill-advised throws.
A lot of his throws were really off target and behind receivers, and even some of them were without pressure. Like in the Clemson game, there was times when the pocket was nice and clean and he threw the ball behind his receiver on something like a simple out route. And I'm wondering, like, how do you miss that? Are you off target? This is later on in the year and you're missing this already. This isn't week one where you're jittery. And then when he was under pressure, there was a lot of these off the back foot throws, or even like a throw that was supposed to be wide open and he just airmails a guy over the middle. And it's like, you could have hit that. You could have hit that if you just stood there and took in the hit. But as the game went on, and lots of these games, like third, fourth quarter, he seemed to actually learn to take those hits. It's like he settled down into that game and would take the hits and deliver a throw. So I'm wondering if he has problems with first to second quarter and becomes a third and fourth quarter guy. I need to see like more out of that type of situations with previous years. But so, yeah, he is 24 years old. He already graduated Boise State in 3 years and then transferred to play at North Carolina State. So you're not even going to get that many years out of him if you were to draft him, unless you expect him to be your backup. You already have Tyrod Taylor for that, so you could just save a roster spot, honestly, by not getting this guy. But Wade, I got to ask you this, man. When I was watching him play, I felt like he would go through all his progressions, and you could tell like he made all his progressions and all his reads. And even if you see the guy that's supposed to be open, he would just throw it to someone just out of pure like hesitation. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to throw it to this guy.
Well, I think part of that is there were just moments where you're just like, what the hell is he doing? You're right. I mean, you see him, you know, kind of processing what's happening and then still make a bad throw, or, you know, throw it to the wrong guy with other receivers open. I think that's a hard thing to overlook as far as him. And then going back to your point of, I do think this guy will be a backup. I mean, I think he could be a good backup, but I don't know if you're the Chargers picking guy. I mean, not in the third round. I would be really surprised if they went for him in the third round. That's where we saw him mocked to the Chargers. And so, you know, there are people that think he's a third round pick. I didn't see it. You know, teams will do some crazy things at times for quarterbacks. And Justin Jones did get picked in the third round of last year. We will continue to remind you. And the Chargers are historically bad recently in picking in the third round. So
just trade.
Honestly, trade back for 2 5th round picks. You know, get a guy like Desmond King and call it a day. But I just don't think that the upside is there. I mean, for me, give me a guy that has more upside than this, who's a rawer prospect and you think could develop down the road into a guy that can be a starter, not just a guy whose basically ceiling is just as a backup. I just think there's too many things to take away from his game. You do see some in
project. Can't even call this guy a project, really.
Well, I mean, it is Gillespie, a project.
This is not the quarterback you are looking for.
Yeah, I mean, as long as if only we could just say that to him, just so he knows. But I mean, there were some things.
Says stupid media, go away.
Yeah, I mean, if you needed a guy who just had a really quick release, got the ball out right away, had some decent pre-snap reads, and a guy who, you know, threw with anticipation at times, and you could possibly see that improving. I mean, you could see that, but at the same time, I just don't see the upside there in that pick. And you're talking about the Chargers timeline. I mean, you probably wouldn't be playing until he's 27 years old. So there's not a lot of, hey, this is the future type of talk. And I couldn't really see that, even though a lot of teams have linked the Chargers to Ryan Finley. So I think we're all pretty lukewarm on him as a prospect. And I think all down on the Chargers picking him in the 3rd round. That is for sure. But I do think, you know, somebody could do it. We see surprises every year. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. There's still a lot of day 2, 2nd and 3rd round prospects that we want to get into on the next show. So keep an eye out for that, probably out on Monday. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to watch it. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, and to get the shows right when they come out, which is usually the night before everyone else gets them. Make sure to subscribe on Himalaya or tune in Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from, so you always get the latest show right when it comes out. And the best way to listen is by listening in your car on your way to work by telling your smart assistant, play podcast Locked On Chargers. That also works. You will get the latest episode. And just an update on the Locked On NFL Net mock draft show. Ours is coming up, probably not today, but tomorrow. You can get our pick as the Chargers GM in the Locked On NFL Network's mock draft and get their expert opinions on the pick. So yesterday they went through 14 through 20. Tomorrow they'll go 21 through 27. And the Chargers will be the first one on the next show at 28, more than likely. So make sure to look out for that. And you can do that by following Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and get all of the Locked On Podcast Network's experts on their teams, giving you constant coverage of the NFL. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy. And of course, go Bolts.